Lord. So I don't think his eyes are on the Lord, but he was going through that. About 3 weeks into that process, we get word from Wilmington. Bill Hill has had a massive heart attack. He's on a ventilator. It's touch and go. What's going to happen? We kept getting the updates. But again, what I know the family said, what do you do? Which doctors? What's the process? What do we do? We knew that here in Wilmington, the eyes were on the Lord and looking to him. And then Kathy got word a week later that one of her cousins in Greensboro had some really strange disease or event. He is now paralyzed from the waist down. And we just kept getting all this bad news, bad news, bad news. What do you do? What do you do? At our church, we've been studying through the Sermon on the Mount on Wednesday nights. And so I had read it and kept rereading it because we're going over, So I started reading ahead, and I got into Matthew chapter 8 and chapter 9, and that's what has hit me is what do we do when we don't know what to do about our health? How do we deal with health issues and health challenges? How do we have faith? I know that when we go through these situations, we pray and we pray and we pray. We pray for health. We pray for improvement. We pray for recovery. We pray for life. We're trusting in the Lord. We're remembering what the message came back to Jehoshaphat when he said, we don't know what to do, but our eyes on the Lord. That do not fear or be dismayed. The battle is the Lord's. We know that. And we try to trust in that. We try to have faith. So today I want to follow that theme about people with their eyes on the Lord. We're going to look at four or five different situations where people had the eyes on the Lord. They were trying to demonstrate and live in faith and trust him. How does faith in God impact our health issues? There are those out there, the health and wealth guys that tell you, well, if you've got enough faith, you'll be healed. And if you're not healed, you don't have enough faith. It's really all on you. I mean, that's their message. Work up more faith, have more faith, have more faith. Oh, you're not healed yet. You don't have faith. That's one message. Others encourage you just to have big faith. I'm not sure what that means. How do I make my faith bigger and bigger? I'm not sure. I think it comes down to having faith that what God's doing in our lives is a part of his plan, and we simply trust him for what is happening and what's going to happen, and we rely on him, and we try to have an eternal perspective because this life is just a vapor. This life is grass. It just fades away. For all of us, no matter how young, how old, how healthy, how unhealthy. We're all going to face that day unless the Lord comes when the news is not going to be good. We're not going to like it. And we're going to agonize through it. We attended a birthday party last night, which is another stressful situation. But anyway, there's a lady, her husband's just been diagnosed with stage 4, all kinds of cancer. And the lady was sitting there telling us, and I understand this. How it's affecting her. I mean, her husband's the one that's got this. And she's telling us, well, he just can't leave me here. I can't live life by myself. And I'm saying, shut up. I mean, take care of him. He's the one that's got the problem right now. How do we deal with faith when it comes to health? So we want to look at that today. In Matthew chapter 9, we break in. I'm not a fan of breaking in, but Matthew. It tells us the account of Jesus coming into this world, born of a virgin, how he lived his early life there and moving around. And then there's the break. Luke covers more, as mentioned today, what happened when he was age 12 and he was in the temple and his parents left him and couldn't find him. But there's a lot of silent years. And then Matthew skips from basically birth to he arrives on the scene and he starts teaching. You're familiar with the Sermon on the Mount, chapters 5 through 7 of Matthew. And then the end or the start of chapter 8 says he came down from the mountain and he began to teach and he began to heal. And it seems to say he healed everybody that he came in contact with. And it often makes me wonder, why then? Why not now? Why did he heal everybody he came in contact with then and not now? Well, we want to think through that because faith and healing are those times when we don't know what to do, but we put our eyes on the Lord. We're going to be looking at Matthew 9, 18 through 37, but I'm not going to read it until we get to the individual situations that we want to look at. The first thing that stands out to me, starting in verse 18, is faith when facing death. Faith when facing death. Let's read that. Chapter 9, Matthew, verse 18. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. Move down to verse 23. When Jesus came to the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said to them, Give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed into scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. And the fame thereof went abroad into all the land. And if you read in Luke, he tells them, don't go tell anybody. How does that work? Somebody's dead and they're alive and they're walking around the next day and you don't tell anybody. I'm not sure. I don't grasp that. But that's what he told them, not to tell anybody. But everybody knew pretty soon. If I'd had input into the order of these accounts, I would have put the one about death being last. But Jesus didn't do it. The Lord didn't do it. The Spirit didn't do it. So we're going to look at that first, because God put it here. Faith when facing death. Luke 8 tells us more about who this individual was, who this ruler of the synagogue was. This is Jairus. And he had a daughter about 12 years old. He was a powerful man. He was a man of authority. He was a man that ruled over the synagogue. And yet he was helpless. And he could have been hopeless because his daughter was dead. I can think of nothing more difficult than to lose a child. Some of you here may have done that. It's one of the things I pray about daily, is that the Lord will protect us and keep us from accidents and harm and stupidity. And the stupidity is the biggest part. Because we do things that don't make sense and put us in trouble. But here, Jairus was a ruler in the synagogue. And he approaches Jesus and he says, basically, I don't know what to do, but Lord, I'm looking to you. My eyes are on you. If you'll just come and lay your hands on my daughter, she will be raised from the dead. What faith this man had. And it's interesting that a leader of the Jews who did not like the message Jesus was given, generally, they did not care for what was going on. They felt they were losing power and authority. Why did this man have such faith? Up to this point, in this town, Jesus had healed the sick. He'd given sight to the blind. He'd done a lot of miracles of healing. But in this town, he had not raised anybody from the dead. We're told in Luke that he had gone over to a town of Nain and he had raised the widow's son as they were marching out with the funeral. Maybe Jairus had heard about that. Maybe Jairus had seen some of this healing going on. We're told that Jesus was actually in the synagogue in Luke 4, the same place that Jairus was the ruler. And what happened in the synagogue? Jesus stood up and spoke and taught, and they kicked him out. So Jairus was there. Could he have controlled that? Don't know. But he saw all this going on. Why did he have such faith? I think he had such faith because deep down he saw Jesus performing miracles. He heard Jesus a testimony of what was going on and what was happening. He also knew Scripture. And he knew that Scripture pointed, all the law and the prophets pointed to a Messiah, to someone that was coming, someone that could be a Savior. So he had this history. And again, don't know why exactly that he had this faith, but he looked and he trusted Jesus. And so he asked him to go with him. And then an interruption came. We're going to talk about that in a minute. So he had to wait. Can you imagine that? I know this man can heal my daughter, but now he's over here dealing with another person's problem. My problem's bigger than that person's problem. We have to wait at times. We have to be patient. Faith is all about being patient and waiting and trusting. But so Jairus has to wait. Jesus enters into his house as he goes with him. And I thought this was interesting. I tried to picture this. It said the minstrels were playing, and yet there was a noisy crowd. The NIV says they were playing flutes. I sense they're trying to do what Skip tries to do up here, which is calm, peace. I mean, this family's lost their daughter. And yet then you got all these people making noise and, you know, where's the coffee? Did somebody bring cake? I mean, what's going on here? And there's all kinds of stuff going on. I flash back to when my grandfather passed away. I can't tell you when. I was a teenager. The whole family gathered at the fellowship hall at the old Forest Avenue Tabernacle before it became Shannon Hills Chapel. They had eight children. Those children, which is my dad's family, we had 27 cousins, and most of us went to that. So we were in this one room, and we were there to focus on my granddad's passing, and it was like a party was going on. I mean, everybody was talking and laughing and all, and I'm sitting there saying, this seems not right to me. And that's what I sense going on here. Somebody's playing music to calm them down, and there's this big crowd. But he says, and the crowd didn't believe what Jesus said. Jesus says, she's just asleep. And they laughed him, they mocked him to scorn. So he basically said, give place. She's asleep. Y'all get out of here. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. So he enters the house. He raises her from the dead. And again, tells them, don't tell anybody. This man had faith when facing death in his family. Death is inevitable for each of us. Again, if the Lord doesn't come. But it impacts us in different ways. When we hear of the death of a child, when we hear of a tragic accident that takes a 20-year-old somebody's life, we consider it human tragedy. And from a human perspective, it very well may be. Loved ones left behind. You know, I think of Phil's wife. How is she going to take care of him if he can't move? And when insurance runs out, they don't care if you can move. They send you home. They're done with you, and you got to figure it out. How's she going to pick this guy up? This guy was a football player. How do you take care of him? Well, death impacts us differently depending on a lot of situations. My first association with death, I was a 7-year-old kid. We grew up living beside my dad's sister through the first 5 years of my life. So I had 5 cousins over there, 4 of which were there when I'm talking about. The third child was a guy named Tom. He was a year older than me. We were best buds. But he had a younger sister. She was born with a hole in her heart. She was called a blue baby. And they had to take her for surgery eventually. So I remember they took her to Duke for surgery. My dad, who was sort of the stalwart in the family, was asked to come down there and be with the family. Tommy came and stayed with us. So it's my mom and me and my brother and Tom, and then my dad's down at Duke. The surgery, she made it through surgery, but within hours after surgery, she passed away. So, you know, my mom wakes us up the next day and tries to explain that to me. And it's like that, you know, my cousin was upset. I was upset. It was a trying time. The family was upset. They'd lost their 5-year-old daughter. That was hard. That was tough. That was my first experience. My last experience with death in my family, my dad passed away July of 16, so 5 years ago this month. I mean, we miss him, but it was time. He was 93 years old. He lived a great, wonderful life. He influenced camps. He influenced conferences. He influenced assemblies across North Carolina. He influenced his kids and his grandkids. And yet the last 2 years of his life, dementia, struggles, it was time. And we were ready. And it didn't impact us nearly the way as losing my cousin. Death impacts us differently. Faith, when facing death, is a challenge we all have. A couple of weeks ago, this popped up on my phone. Stuff pops up. It caught my attention because it was reporting the death of a man that I didn't know anything about except he died on a motorcycle. It wasn't his fault. And so I always share this with certain members of my family. They have now started sharing with me accidents that happen on bicycles because I have to ride bike now because I can't run. So we're at a standoff, you know. Is it worse to be on a motorcycle or on a bike? And we have our different opinions. But this was a young man. Well, he was 49. He was on his way to church, riding his motorcycle. He was a former drummer for a Christian group called Casting Crowns. Again, named Andy Williams. The wreck left him severely damaged, brain damaged, body damaged. They had to amputate a leg trying to save his life. And ultimately, within a couple of days after the accident, he passed away. Here's what his wife said and sent out to all the people. She said he fought a great fight, but the injuries that he suffered took a toll on his physical body. You prayed along with us that Andy would be healed. You prayed along with us that Andy would wake up. You prayed along with us that God would perform a miracle and give him life. While we mourn that Andy isn't here with us now and we didn't get to witness the miracle we longed for, all of our prayers were answered. He is healed. He is awake. And he is more alive today than he ever was. We hold fast to Paul's words that we look not to the things that are seen, but those things that are unseen, for they are eternal. We celebrate that Andy is in the arms of his Savior, and we're grateful for the memories and the laughter that he brought to all those who knew him. That is faith when facing death. And his wife did it. She's still left behind. I think there's kids still involved. But she took this as this is the way it is. She faced death, her eyes on Jesus, with true faith. That's the challenge for us, and we all need to be ready to step up. Secondly, we see faith when facing disease. Let's go back to that interruption. As Jesus was getting ready to follow Jairus, we see verse 20, and behold, a woman, which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years, came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may touch his garment, I will be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. So I mentioned Jairus was interrupted, and this was it. Jesus and Jairus were getting ready to go, and this woman, it's like she's in this crowd, and she comes up from behind. Scripture says when she touched Jesus in Luke, he said, who did that? He knew, but he says, who touched me? And the disciples like, there's a massive crowd. We don't know. How are we supposed to know? And so she, seeing the confusion, she speaks up and identifies herself. This was after she had told herself, if I can just touch the garment, I'll be healed. We're told she had this disease for 12 years. That's chronic. That goes on every day. You wake up and you got the same disease. You got the same pains. You got the same problems. I call them black cloud days. I thank the Lord every day that I don't have a black cloud day. Some days I do. Some days I don't. But 12 years every day. Some of you know this. You know what it's like. You wake up with the same problem day after day after day. And yet she had faith. She didn't know what to do. She had gone to doctor after doctor after doctor. Luke tells us she had spent all of her money trying to solve the problem, and yet the problem was not solved. Ever been there? Doctor after doctor after doctor. You get, if you've been to 40 doctors, you got 40 answers. And it's like, what do I do? What do I do? Well, she trusted and had faith, and the Lord healed her. What does that mean for us? How do we have faith when facing disease? You know, some of us have diseases, they just come and go. You know, you get sick, you're sick for 3 days, you get better, you forget about it 2 weeks later, and you move on. Others get chronic diseases that just hang on and linger and affect us. I mean, you can think of something, you know, arthritis. I was talking to Kim today, we're talking about arthritis and our muscles and not being able to do stuff we used to do. Crohn's disease. My former boss's wife has severe Crohn's disease, and now his 30-some-year-old son also has Crohn's disease. It doesn't go away. There's medication that helps. Diabetes. I mean, my dad was diabetic for a long time, and it had nothing to do with how he ate. I'm sure of that. I don't want to get diabetes, so I try to control my weight, unlike he did. Heart disease, issues of the heart. Kathy's got two brothers that have had stents and all this sort of stuff done, and now she's got a nephew with the same problem. And now she's worried because she comes from that same family. Cancers that linger and linger and linger. All of us can relate, either through knowing somebody or through going through it, of the pain and the suffering and the money spent, and the doctors consulted with no solution. Where does faith enter this picture? For this lady, she believed if I get to Jesus, he's going to heal me. How do you and I deal with it? Again, we've talked about the health and wealth preachers. You just need more faith. I confess to having confusion when it comes to this. How and why does the Lord look on you and heal you? But he looks on you and he doesn't. How and why? I can't figure it out. That's what heaven's going to be all about. He's going to explain all this stuff to us. That's what's going to take forever. He's going to explain to us how and why. All I know is this lady had her eyes on the Lord, and that's what you and I need to do. We need to have our eyes on the Lord, trusting him that he's going to do whatever is best for us. It continues day after day as we struggle with health. Just have our eyes on the Lord. Lord, give me your mercy and your grace today to help me to deal with it. Disease, my wife always tells me, disease is harder than death. Because in death, we're out here, right? We're in heaven. We're with Jesus. Disease over and over and over is a struggle. We need God's perspective, and he'll help us to figure it out. I recently read a story about a young man who was getting ready to enter college. He was fairly severely asthmatic. And right like the day before he was going off to college, he had a major asthma attack. So his parents are all worried. We shouldn't send him off. What are we going to do? They called the elders to come in and pray over him. Please ask the Lord to take away his asthma so when he goes off to college, he won't have to deal with this. So the elders came and they gathered around him. They put their hands on him. They prayed and pleaded and asked the Lord, take away his asthma. The next morning he woke up. And he had to grab his inhaler. He still had asthma. But surprisingly, he also had some warts on his feet, and the warts were all gone. And he's like, Lord, did you not hear? We weren't praying about warts. We were praying about asthma. I mean, is there somebody out there walking around that's got asthma but no warts? I mean, did you mix the wrong people up? And he said later on that day, as he was having his quiet time, and he was still like, why do I still have asthma? But why are the warts gone? He said, I heard the voice of God speak to me that says, I just want you to know that I'm able. I just want you to know that I'm able. I'm not healing you the asthma. I took care of the warts. I just want you to know that I'm able to do it. And I'll decide when I'm going to do it. And we'll go from there. Faith, when we have disease, again, we just have to trust. My favorite Sunday school teacher used to say it this way. He said, the Lord's going to heal you from every disease you have, except for the last one. I thought that was pretty good information. Faith when facing disease. Next, we have faith when facing disability. Look at verse 27. It says, when Jesus departed from there, so he left Jairus' place and he departs. It said, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, thou son of David, have mercy on us. When he was come to the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, yea, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it with you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, see that no man know it. Again, you're blind, and all of a sudden you got your eyesight, but don't tell anybody. These folks were facing disability. Now, I don't know how two people that are blind can follow Jesus around, except that they had friends or family or acquaintances that cared enough about them to bring them to Jesus. And then they were able to demonstrate their faith. They couldn't really have eyes on Jesus when they were blind. But when he healed their eyes, when he touched them, when he healed their disability, they were able to see and they were healed. And he says it was because of the faith that they demonstrated in coming to him. The message here is we probably know folks that are blind spiritually, and we need to bring them to the Lord. We need to bring them to Christ. We need to be caring enough for them to help them and bring them and show them who Jesus Christ is and what he can do. But what does faith look like in 2021 when it comes to disability? Have you ever seen a blind man made where he could see? I haven't. Have you ever seen the lame made to walk? If you watch some of the commercials on TV and you see these wounded warriors and you see these tunnels to towers, you see people that have been made disabled in war, and yet through medical marvels of science, they're able to be given prosthetic arms and legs, and they're able to function in some way. So their disability in some way is healed. I don't know where their faith stands. What about transplants? You've experienced that here in this meeting with people sharing a kidney to help somebody else live. That's healing a disability. That's the Lord working there. I was reading in the, I'm one of the only people in the world that still reads the newspaper. I was reading in the Wilson Times about a lady in town who's getting ready to donate her second organ. She gave a kidney to her sister 5 years ago. She's given partial liver to her brother. So she's being used to bring life, to heal a disability. These two people were trusting the Lord when they were facing a disability. And again, some of us are, maybe we don't look it, but we get disabled. We have things that don't work. I ride a bike now because my knee no longer will let me run. Okay? It's no big deal. In the scope of what's a big problem, that's not a big problem. Some people have big problems with disability. Here, he opened the blind's eyes. We need to have faith, whatever we're struggling with, that he hears us. And he wants to take care of us. So he heals them. And then we have faith when facing demons. Look at verse 32 through 34. As they went out, meaning the blind guys that were no longer blind and were not supposed to tell anybody, they went out. Behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, he casteth out demons or devils through the prince of the devils. Faith when facing demons. In these times when Jesus was on earth, there were people that were possessed with demons. And he confronted them, and he cast the demons out. His first battle was when he was out in the wilderness and he faced Satan head on. But then we see, if you go back in Matthew chapter 8, he healed the man with all the chains and all that stuff across the Sea of Galilee. And he cast out demons. And in Matthew, there's more accounts. In Luke, there's more accounts. Jesus heals the demons. You know, did this man have faith? I really don't think so, because he was full of demons, or a demon. But the people that brought him there had faith. And they believed Jesus could take away the demons that possessed this man and cause him not to be able to talk. And so they brought him. And Jesus did so. The question exists is, do demons exist in people today? I'm talking about outside of Washington, D.C., okay? Do demons exist in people today and make them evil? If you talk to missionaries that go to, you know, in third world countries, they'll tell you they've seen it exists. and they have to deal with it. In the United States, although we've started acting like a third world country in many, many situations, but the demons exist. I think we clean up, we dress up, we educate, but there are people who are totally evil. Is that demonic? I think it is. When you have no love of God, you know, no concern of God, you want to tear down everything that is what God has established, I think there are demons. I saw a cartoon. I read the Dilbert cartoon because it used to be about business stuff. I was reading it this week, and these two outer space-looking creatures were coming, and they announced, they were talking to Alice. Alice is one of the Dilbert creatures with this weird hair. And the creature says, "We have come to destroy this earth." No, to destroy this country, speaking of the United States. "We have come to destroy this country." And she says, "Well, before we get that, could you tell me what your pronouns are?" And the two guys walk away saying, "It's too late. Somebody beat us to it." Somebody's already come and destroyed this country. That's what we're living in. That's what we're seeing. I think there's demons out there, and we need to be concerned. Ephesians 6:12 says this, and it's when he is encouraging them to put on the whole armor of God that you may stand. He says, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual wickedness in high places." That's the world we live in. It's been the world we've always lived in, but it just seems to be so much worse right now in this country. There's demonic activity going out there, and it's people pushing values that are contrary to God's word. It's very present. And Jesus took on the demons. And he wants us to be armed, put on the armor of God, and stand against that. Jesus can take care of the demons. Lastly, and most important, I want us to look at faith focused on discipleship. Now, this is not disease, it's not death, it's not disability, it's not demons. But Jesus, at the end of this time when he's doing all this healing, look what he says in verse 35. He says, "Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted, were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest.'" And then in chapter 10, he sends them forth. The reason Jesus did all this healing and touched all these lives was to draw men to himself so that he could present himself as the Savior of the world. And I think that's the message he's saying here. He had compassion. He had care. He saw there were shepherds, they were scattered without shepherds. They had nobody to lead them. And he wanted his disciples to recognize, as important as all this healing stuff is, what's ultimately important is you go out and you bring lost men to Jesus Christ. And as we try to deal with faith when it comes to death and disease and disability and demons, our higher calling is to deal with discipleship. Our higher calling is to be the people God wants us to be and take forth his message on a daily basis. So I think the message for us today is, as we look through this, and again, it was triggered by us knowing people in severe health issues and wondering, Lord, how are you going to work all this out? We just got our eyes on you. We're trusting you. And his message is, take the gospel to the world. Take the gospel to the people around you. Be willing to share. To those that are struggling with health, be there for them. Care about them. Have compassion on them. But share the gospel with them. Because ultimately, all that matters is whether they're saved or not saved. Not whether they get healed or not healed. It's about the gospel. Jesus drew men to himself so they would see that he could heal them from their sins and he could give them eternal life. You know, I don't know most of you and what your issues are health-wise. Matthew records these events where people didn't know what to do, but they turned to the Lord and they had faith. We just need to see life from God's view. We need to have his eternal perspective. Because one day, those of us that know him and believe on him, no more sorrow, no more tears, no more pain, no more suffering. We'll be with him in glory forever and ever. And that's what we look forward to. And that's the message we need to give to these that are lost and dying and suffering. So I pray it'll be so for his name's sake and that we'll be encouraged from this. And again, whatever you're facing, we pray for you. I hope you pray for us. And let's just have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that he knows what's best for all of us. Father, we give you praise and thanks for your goodness and your grace. Lord, all of us are going to face death unless you send Jesus back. And Lord, we wish you'd do that. We pray for that and we look for that. But whatever we're facing, health, just comfort us. Continue to shine your light of grace and mercy upon us. Give us patience. Surround us with those that love us and care for us and can ease the pain. Lord, give us doctors that have wisdom. Nurses and folks that work in the medical field that can have compassion and help us. And just, again, help us to trust you and to look to you. We give you thanks for this day. Pray you'll separate us and bring us back together next time as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.